Jeff, let's talk a little bit about the Amityville Horror. And, of course, we just lost George Lutz not too long ago. You had an opportunity to extensively chat with him in your book, Our Haunted Lives, didn't you?
Yeah, George died back on May 8th of this year. He was only 59 years old. He died suddenly of heart failure. And, you know, that's certainly one of the most gripping modern ghost stories, I think, of our time. It made international news. People still know it. I'm sure the many books and movies that came out made about Amityville have a lot to do with that. But it's a story that back in 1975 just gripped everyone because so many people were brought in. It was so well documented. So many people talked about it. George Lutz has been called a lot of things. You know, I'm sure you know he was called a fraud for most of his life by many people, not by everyone. And what I wanted to do was basically just hear it from the horse's mouth. You know, people who called him a fraud generally weren't there in the house, which I always thought was interesting. It's an interesting angle to take. But we spoke for hours and hours. This was shortly, right around the time the most recent movie came out. I don't know if you had the misfortune of seeing
that. No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, well, you don't have to.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't like the first one, that's for sure.
No, it was right around the time that came out where we spoke. And I think what's happened with every single work on Amityville that's come out since including Jay Anson's book, which of course was the first work, the story has just warped and morphed and gotten further away from what really happened and just got really way out there. So I just wanted to hear from him what happened. And we spoke about everything from literally the summer before all the way through present day. Talked about what his life has been like, not just in the house, but since, how it affected him, how it affected his relationships, his idea of spirituality, all those things. So it was really quite a conversation.
Isn't it interesting that now he is in the hereafter?
Yeah, you know, I just hope he's found peace, because I can tell you Amityville cursed him in a number of ways. Now, whether it was, you know, supernatural, preternatural, or, I mean, he was involved in over 13, I think it was 13 or 14 lawsuits in and around Amityville, and it all came down with the right to tell the story, his story. So I know he was plagued by that most of his days, being called a liar by quite a number of people on talk shows and in magazines and books and things like that. That's got to be tough to live with. That's got to be, and I think he was a fighter, and he fought to tell his own side of the story his entire life. And one of the things that surprised me, one of the big questions I had is, you know, why do you go public with this in the first place? What made you stand up on the world stage and come out to the media and say, you know, it seems to me you're just asking for trouble. I didn't realize this, but Ronald DeFeo, who, of course, the DeFeos were the family that lived in the house.
And Ronald's the one still in prison, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And for those who may not know the story, Ronald Butch DeFeo Jr., one evening in 1974, went through his house with a rifle and executed his two parents, his two brothers, and his two sisters, all in their beds.
Claiming demons told him to do it, I guess. Huh?
Well, that's the story that came out after the Lutzes,
right,
which is interesting. At first, it was just, you know, a troubled kid that went crazy and executed his family. And you have to imagine, too, I mean, it's a pretty large house, but not that large. How could you not hear a rifle going off in the middle of the night? So it's still an interesting case, even in the purely clinical, you know, for your CSI files kind of thing. You know, he executed his parents first, then went down the hall and went to his, you know.
I
know, can you imagine? But imagine not waking up to the sound of multiple shotguns and at least not being in your bed when he comes for you. I don't have an explanation for that one, so maybe there were forces at work there. I don't know. But I do know that the Lutz family, Kathy and George and their children, they got a great deal on this house. Obviously so. I mean, it was no one
and
wanted
they,
it.
They knew what had happened in that house before they bought it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They were fully aware. In fact, he talked about that. He talked about how when the realtor got there, he said Kathy just lit up. This was exactly the kind of house she was envisioning. And the realtor said, look, I don't know if I should tell you this now or after you're done going through the house. And they said, no, go ahead, tell us. And she said this was the house of the DeFeo murders. And at the time, he said, okay, you know, it just didn't bother him. He, you know, some people it doesn't bother them. And
it would me. How about you?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable. I wouldn't be comfortable sleeping in a bedroom where that happened or things like that.
Jeff,
I don't know.
Even if they leveled the house, I'm not sure I'd want to build a house on that ground. You know.
Which is exactly why they got such a good deal on it.
Yeah.
Because lots of people feel the same way we do, George. They just didn't want it, so they picked the house up for a great value.
Yeah.
And they decided they were going to move in. I asked him too. I said, you've got young children you're bringing into the house, and they're going to be going to school, and we know how rough kids can be on each other. Did you talk to them about it? Did they understand what was going on? And he said, absolutely. They spoke at length. They said if any of the kids had said they have a real problem with this, they wouldn't have gone through with it. But the children just agreed, it's a house. It happened there over a year ago. It's gone, whatever it was. It's not there anymore. And so they moved in. And really interesting, when you see the movie, and even if you read the first book, kind of over the top stuff, but the experiences George told me about were actually very subtle. Things like hearing the door opening and closing, the front door of the house when it's absolutely silent, and it's a very distinct sound. And people, you know your own home, that the creaks it makes when the heat comes on,
mm-hmm. or when you walk up a step,
Of course, that's right. You know the subtleties of your own home, and the Lutzes were no different. And George kept hearing the front door open and close, and of course he gets up to investigate because he's thinking there could be a burglar.
Sure.
And he comes down to the landing and he finds his black lab just curled up asleep. And he said, dogs don't sleep through doors opening and closing in the middle of the night. So subtle things like that. And then hearing people moving downstairs, hearing at what point he said like a marching band tuning up downstairs while he was in bed. And then things got worse and worse. But it wasn't, the walls weren't bleeding. The flies, which are often depicted in the movies, he said there were flies. Not millions of them, but they couldn't seem to get rid of them. And it's the kind of thing where I think hindsight gives them a different perspective. But what he spoke most about, which I thought was interesting, was that the house was charming. That's the words he used.
Charming.
They didn't want to leave. He was an admitted workaholic before moving into that house, and he said he just didn't really go to the office much anymore. He didn't go to his shop and just kind of phoned it in.
Oh, did he lose his desire to work? I mean, did it kind of sap them?
He said he was losing weight. He just kind of became withdrawn. They always wanted to have people over to the house because
they needed that.
They needed connection, but also they wanted other people. They wanted to see if other people were also hearing these kinds of things. And he said that was a great moment of relief where they'd have friends over and they'd hear footsteps and things and they'd all go investigate and find that no one was there and they'd say, oh, thank goodness, we're not crazy. It's not just us. Other people hear it too. And so things added up and added up. And then he did mention that one of the most frightening parts of the ordeal was he said his wife, Kathy, seemed to be aging. Now, keep in mind, they lived in this house for 28 days. That's it. Less than a month, just, 28 days.
Aging in 28 days?
That's right. He said she visibly aged. She looked like she put on 10, 15, 20 years, that kind of thing.
Right.